line mate Matt with me, and today we're going to go over the last two series. Colorado leads Edmonton as of right now 3-0. It's 3-2 with 3-2 Edmonton, 17:36 left in the third. And surprisingly, New York leads Tampa Bay 2-1. Tampa Bay won their game yesterday to make it 2-1. Luckily for them, man, you know, that gives them some life, because it turns into 3-0. You know, that's a big hole to crawl out of. But we'll let's start with Colorado and Edmonton here. Colorado, man, they've been pouring it on Edmonton, and the one man show of Connor McDavid has not been working against this up to down complete team. Matt, do you think that Edmonton has a snowball's chance?
Well, the way they've been playing tonight, I thought they came out way better than the previous three. To be honest, I think Draisaitl is probably playing one of the best games I've seen him play.
Okay.
I believe he's hurt, and he's making some really good passes. He's, you know, good finishing and good, just smart plays. And he kind of got this team going. I think there was like 1 minute left in the second, and McDavid buried one on the power play. A nice pass from Draisaitl. But, dude, Smith, I'm still shaking. Like, I zone in on goalies when I watch a game. He just doesn't look like he has any confidence when he's in there. I mean, he fumbles the puck a little bit. You know, he can't control his rebounds. And Colorado scored on their first shot in the third. So I think they could get swept still, but I like the way they're playing. But Smith is just too shaky for me, man.
Yeah, I agree. I think that Colorado can tilt the ice in this series very easily. You know, they could. I don't think Edmonton has the firepower to stop them, you know, and I think that's the problem. Even if McDavid gets through and say he doesn't score, you know, there's a good chance that Colorado can turn that right back around, you know?
Yeah, I think they... Oh, well, here we go. I got a live update for you. Draisaitl with another beautiful pass to Zach Hyman, his second goal. It is 4-2.
Wow.
Connor McDavid, bad turnover by Gabe Landeskog.
I hate that guy.
And oh, actually, I'm sorry. I'm wrong. Nathan MacKinnon with a bad giveaway. That's very rare to see, but oh man, this is it's going to be exciting to the end. Nice Duncan Keith made a good play to get it out of the zone, and like we were just talking about, Connor McDavid took three strides and he was gone. Kind of staying away from Cale Makar, I noticed tonight, which helping him a lot. And just Gabe Landeskog skates by and says something, but it's 4-2 now. And it's going to get interesting, man.
They had some statistics on NHL.com about top speed for some of the players in this series. And they got McDavid at 23.7 miles per hour top speed, almost hitting 24. MacKinnon, 23.1. I don't know if anybody really notices, but yeah. MacKinnon actually skates faster with the puck than without it. Draisaitl at 22.3, Makar at 22.1, and Kadri at 21.7. Now, these are some high flyers, but I'll tell you what, McDavid can get there fast. He goes from 0 to 100 very, very quickly, and I think that's why his speed is such a factor for him. You look at MacKinnon, on the other hand, he normally has to skate down to the other end, and then he comes rushing up the ice, you know, like a bull, like you mentioned, Matt.
Yeah, and you can't stop that.
You can't. He's just too fast and too big and too strong, to be honest with you.
He'll go right through you with the puck. That's right. How good he is.
And then you'll just be like a pancake on the ice. But, you know, Kadri, you never really noticed, you know, that 21.7 mile per hour speed until he ran into Binnington.
Yeah, and, you know, we were talking about this earlier, me and you privately, and there's a lot of crap going on. Like, Kadri is just the saint now, and, I mean, have we forgotten about his track record the previous years? I mean, he's been suspended at the worst times, dirty plays, fined, and, you know, like, we don't want to see the guy get death threats or anything over a sports game, but that's absolutely not right. But come on, he's no angel. I think he knew what he was doing when he was going that fast into the Blues net and taking out Binnington. It changed the series around. I thought Binnington played great up until then, and But Colorado making him out to be like some saint. Like, oh, yeah, we changed him. Nah, he's still the same dude.
Yeah, he was the same dude last year, taking untimely penalties. Yes, he's very skilled and he can score. But I just think that this guy is just a penalty time bomb waiting to happen. You know, it's when is this guy and his antics going to get him into maybe a 4-game suspension? You know, can you imagine the hissy fit that McKinnon would throw if Kadri got a 3-4-game suspension in the playoffs?
Well, here's the thing too. He's hurt now. I'm not sure. I think it was Evander Kane. He's suspended for it.
Right. One game, right?
Yeah, Evander Kane is another winner who doesn't seem to be changing his ways either. He's been fined. He's we know his off-ice problems, but
right.
These are two guys that are just, they kill their teams. Yeah. Evander Kane could have been a huge difference, I mean, tonight. Having him, he's their leading goal scorer, meaning goals. I mean, Connor McDavid and Draisaitl are, like, I think they points. Got like 23, 24 points or something. It's crazy. But, it's just I don't know. I don't get the hype with these guys and like making them out to be saints and stuff. Evander Kane, I think, is just a huge piece of shit the way he plays. And same with Kadri. I know he seemed like he got his act together, but come on, you can't tell me that play against Binnington was it was an accident because I accidentally slid into your starting goalie type of thing. And I just think it was unfair for the Blues. And you know what? I'm a Hawks fan. I hate the Blues. So yeah. It says a lot.
Do you think that Evander Kane has more upside than Kadri?
I think Kadri is like a Brad Marchand. He could be that type of guy. But I think Brad Marchand has kind of turned his game more to the points and the goals and less of the agitation.
Big time.
I think Kadri, like, he wants to get in your head, and quite honestly, dude, he got into the Blues' head, and the Blues totally lost, you know, their discipline. They let him get to him, and that kind of turned it around right there. But I think if he got away from that more, and, you know, like, this season he was kind of trending towards it. I mean, he put up career numbers. I'm not sure if Colorado's going to have enough money to re-sign him or anything, but if he can stay away from that, you know, that stupid after the whistle scrums and just kind of stupid hits, I think he'd be an elite top 10 player, but he just can't get away from that crap.
Yeah. So Colorado has an opportunity to close it out tonight, but they're down right now 4-2 with 12:54 left in the third. And that's where we're at for right now. On the other hand, we've got New York and Tampa Bay, and I don't know what the hell is going on here, but Tampa Bay at one point was down 2-0. Me and Matt were calling for a sweep. Seems like every time we call that, it doesn't happen. No. So what is going on here, Matt? It seems like it's like a tale of is there like another team playing for Tampa Bay? You know, are the injuries starting to add up for them, or do you think the New York is starting to peak?
I think New York is, they got a good goalie, quite honestly. The Lightning are putting up a lot of shots. I don't know if you've seen the last game. They put up like 55 shots and barely won. But they've been doing this whole series, and Igor has been good. And you know what? At the beginning of the season, I didn't know too much about Shesterkin. And I honestly couldn't even say his name right. That's just, I didn't really follow like the Rangers and their goaltending. But he's been good, man. But I think New York really had a chance to put a dagger in them yesterday, and I think Trouba took a really dumb penalty, and Tampa capitalized, and that was it. And that's what we talked about last year. You try to play tough against this team and take penalties, Tampa they'll make you pay. So I hope that's not the turnaround.
It could be.
I mean, I hope so. I'm a Tampa fan. I it would be cool to see a three-peat. We haven't seen one in a long time. But I think if Igor could keep standing on his head and the Rangers can give him a little more support, could be a 3-1 game next game.
Before I go any further and I hit my next point, I got to let everybody know that this podcast is sponsored by Manscaped. And I'll tell you what, man, these guys have great products and they're great guys to work with. they have this thing called the weed whacker, and essentially what it is it takes care of your, you know, like your nose hairs and your ears hairs, which would, I know a lot of hockey savages out there have it, and it needs to be taken care of. Do us a favor, use our code SHYTOMAHAWK and get yourself one of these weed whackers to take care of that, because it's unsightly, and you want to be one of those dudes walking around with a forest coming out of your ears. And not to mention some of their other products that take care of the undercarriage, if you know what I mean. Be a little considerate, you know, to your lady friend, you know, your wife or your significant other or what have you, and make sure that you trim everything up down there and get everything taken care of. They've even got ball deodorant, which is something that I've never heard of before, which I thought was absolutely hilarious, but they have it, and you know what? It's actually pretty cool. It works. And one of their kits they have, what comes with the shaver, it comes with the, you know, the ear weed whacker, and it comes with a pair of boxers that are pretty awesome. I used them to run in a couple days ago, and they actually worked out pretty well. So do us a favor, check out Manscaped. They're awesome. Products are awesome. They shipped it to me. I'm going to let you guys know. And I tried it out. It was something that I was actually looking to buy myself, but I didn't. They sent it to me. It's awesome. I'm going to keep on using it, and I'm going to let you guys know how my how my Manscaped journey goes. Wow. I think that Tampa Bay ties it up 2-2 and makes it a little bit more interesting for this New York team.
Good prediction. Could happen.
On to some Blackhawks news. Eric Nesterenko passed away this past weekend. He was 88 years old. He won the Stanley Cup with the Blackhawks back in, I believe it was 1961. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's always sad when some of the greats, you know, pass away, man. I'm glad that he was able to lead a full life, you know, because, you know, some guys, you know, they'll, especially back then, you know, they died, you know, not too long after they played, but a lot of guys typically don't make it to 88. He played 21 NHL seasons, mostly with the Blackhawks. He was a pretty dependable defensive-minded forward. So, man, crazy.
Yeah, special team, 61, man. That was, Bobby Hall used to say that they should have won like 4 Stanley Cups with that roster, and they can only get one with it. So,
yeah.
All those guys are slowly passing. You know, we lost Makita a couple years ago. We lost Tony Espo. This year, I believe, and it's sad, man. These legends are just kind of falling off.
Yeah. Do you have any Blackhawks rumors? And I want to say rumors because there's a lot going on right now. I heard that the Blackhawks are looking to move away from Derek King and find somebody new for the position. What have you heard, man?
I've heard the same thing, but then I've heard that was like a fake headline type of thing, like clickbait. But I mean, looking at all these coaches available, and for the Hawks to sign Derek King when there's some really good coaches out there, really good coaches, like at least 400, 500 wins under their belts, and it would be really dumb to sign King. Really would be. So today we found out that the Bruins let go Bruce Cassidy, a former Blackhawk player. He's been in the Stanley Cup final, I think, twice. I think in 2013.
Who was he with in 2013?
I think he was with the Bruins when the Hawks played him, no? Oh. Or was that Claude Julien? But anyway, I know for sure he was in the final with when they played the Blues that year. The Blues ended up winning in Game 7, but he's a good coach, man. I like the way he coaches. He's an old school type. He's like an old school, new school type of dude. He like a John Cooper, a little more old school than Cooper, like more serious, not as like laid back. But hey, he's a guy I would definitely like. He turned that Bruins franchise around when Claude Julien left, so I'd be happy with that pick too.
Looks like Patrice Bergeron had some elbow surgery. Still undecided about next year. What do you think he does?
Well, he won another Selke, too. I think that's the record, the most Selkies in history.
Okay.
So we think you should name should we call it the Bergeron trophy?
Yeah, maybe.
I mean, I think Nick Lidstrom should be obviously the Norris trophy. This guy was just a machine. But, yeah, I think he's going to come back, dude. I think he'll come back for 1 year. maybe take it year by year. I think he's still got a lot left in the tank. Hopefully he could heal up and be ready. But yeah, I could see him definitely coming back.
You know, maybe they rename like a Lidstrom trophy for a player that excels at both ends of the ice, because Lidstrom was deadly offensively and he'd lock you down. No problem.
He shut Crosby down, Malkin down. Yeah, he could. Yeah, that'd be a great award. And make something else like the offensive defensive award, like the Cale Makar award, saying, you know what I mean? Like a guy who's going to put up a crap ton of points and, you know, 30 goals, I think he scored this year. But yeah, like, or a Jarmelson award, a guy who's blocking shots.
Yeah, and maybe a shot blocker award.
Maybe like one goal a year and a couple assists, but I'd like to see the NHL do something like that, because these defensive defensemen, man, they don't get any accolades at all.
Yeah. It's maybe, I was going to say, maybe name it the Carlson Award.
Oh, for the
offensive defenseman award?
The offensive, and then he'll lose like the plus minus. He's like a minus 42 with 100 points. Wow. Something like that.
Well, cool, man. Do you have any more rumors?
I did hear the Red Wings are also interested in Alex DeBrincat.
Really?
Add that to the list. I could see him and Dylan Larkin, Tyler Bertuzzi absolutely tearing it up on a first line. I think we talked about this in previous podcasts about the jersey rumor with getting him with Jack Hughes. I think that'd be a good little tandem. But I'm not a big Jack Hughes fan. I know he's still young. I know he's overpaid, but he's their guy, so they need a sniper now. So I could see them making a push for DeBrincat if he's even available. I hope he stays. I hope Kane and Taves stay, but I heard the Hawks are up open for business. They're listening to anything.
Really?
So if Davidson could land some first round picks, some good prospects, I'd say go for it, dude. I'd say go for it.
Colorado has just scored a little bit ago. Scores 4-3 against Edmonton. Edmonton's leading, 9:28 left in the third. Man, I wonder how this is going to play out.
Very soft goal by Smith. I don't know if you've seen it.
Oh, boy. Here it comes, Matt.
He got lost. He threw the puck away, sitting on his butt, fishing away like Malcolm Subban in the crease. And he's beating his stick to the ice, trying to break it. And, dude, he's a very shaky goalie. I don't know what it is about him, but he's got to get his composure back and just, you know, make smart plays. Stop playing the puck and trying to score goals, setting up the guys. You're not a goal scorer. You're not a playmaker. You're a goalie. Stop the puck. I mean, it's playoff hockey. It's tight. You don't need to worry about a breakaway pass. Just, you got a 4-2 lead at the time and you just kind of made it easier. You gave them life. So it's going to be exciting, man. It's going to be an exciting finish.
If Colorado ties this up, I think they win the game.
Oh, for sure. They're going to have all that momentum. And it's going to take, Edmonton could take a stupid penalty and that can end it too. So they got to keep their composure. Smith's got to stop acting like a rookie out there, banging a stick around. Yeah, it was a terrible giveaway. I don't know if it hit the ref. But I don't know why he's out there playing the puck when he's got two defensemen right next to him. Bowen Byram with the shot. He loses his net and they kind of crashed it. I guess he may be a little bit of argument with that, but still, there's no reason to play the puck right now. Stay in your crease. Stop the puck.
Let me see here. Kyle Connor of the Jets. He won the Lady Bing Trophy. Talk about probably the most untalked about good player in the league, man. You never hear anything about Kyle Connor. And this guy's he's a solid player, man. Usually when he plays, he's all over the place.
Well, dude, that's kind of makes sense now. Like, hey, we don't need Patrick Laine. We got Kyle Connor. He put up 40 goals this year. He put up 40 assists, I think.
Plays and, hard, both sides of the ice.
He's a very good player. I had him in fantasy this year, and he was an absolute beast for me. He always came through when I needed him. He's going to be a big part of that Jets team for many years.
Incredible, incredible. You got any more news, man?
No, I'm looking forward to tomorrow's game. I'm hoping Tampa can tie it up. But I do like I'm zeroing in more on Shesterkin. I'm learning a lot about him. I didn't really know. I did see a flop. I don't know if you've seen it. It's kind of all over Twitter right now. He took a stick to the face. I mean, it hit the cage, but he fell down, and they're calling him a big flopper now. And,
oh, really?
I mean, it was, he exaggerated the hell out of it. I mean, I've been hitting the face with a stick with my cage on. It's not a big deal. And he trying to draw a penalty, but all the Lightning fans are, you know, calling him flopper, and, you know, it's it's getting good, man. It's going to get nasty.
They call him the fish. They need to throw some fish on the ice.
He's just a weird-looking Russian goalie. He's got that long mullet going on. And Leon Draisaitl misses on the power play. But I think Nathan MacKinnon went to the box for another slew foot. I believe
really?
This is the second one in the last two games. So Edmonton's on the power play. They're moving the puck well. And if they could score here and hold them, I think they'll survive here.
Yeah, they need at least a 2-goal lead on these guys.
Yeah, for sure. Because, you know, Colorado's going to come out pushing. But you know what? The winning the series, the clinching game is the hardest to win. And it could go back to Colorado. It could.
Colorado, man. They if they set up, get the sixth man on the ice, it could be dangerous.
Well, you know what, man? When Edmonton was on the power play in the second period, I've seen Colorado get like 4 shots shorthanded. It was amazing, actually.
Wow.
And they put the shots, like, they place them perfect. I don't know if it's the scouting, but they're making it like so Smith can't play the puck again, because they know he's very good at that. And they're putting him like really like right in the stomach area, and they got a guy crashing so he can't drop the puck, and they're getting a face off. That's good. That's a good scouting report, I believe. And you know what? I forgot to mention. Have you seen the Vasilevskiy scouting report?
No, I haven't.
He has given up 18 high blocker goals this playoffs.
Wow.
Zero 5 holes and 3 glove side goals, I think.
So they're all blocker.
I am giving credit to what's his name? Steve Valiquette of I forget what his analytics company is called, but I know he works with the Rangers. He's a former Ranger goalie. I'm giving him credit for that scouting report, because I've seen the Rangers, you know, putting them high blockers. They're sticking with it. Wow. And it's, as a goalie, man, that's the hardest shot to stop. I mean, obviously you got your weight down on your stick and you got to pull up on it, and when your glove's high, it's easier to stop the puck low because your glove's high already. But the opposite for the blocker, it's very hard to get that up fast. So good kudos to Steve Valiquette and his analytics, because it's helping the Rangers, I think.
Well, I didn't know that.
Yeah, it's a good little stat. I saw the picture. I'll try to find it for you. But I believe it was 18 high blocker goals. So the analytics and the guys that are supposed to be doing their jobs are doing their jobs. And hey, guess what? Colorado just tied the game, and it was Nathan MacKinnon, I believe, out of the penalty box. I'm still waiting to see. They're just showing all the fans. Oh, yep, Nathan MacKinnon out of the penalty box. We have a 4-4 game.
Oh, boy.
So, oh, man, it just quieted the...
Oh, I'm sure it did.
Oh, boy. Yeah, 2-on-1. MacKinnon shot it, didn't give it to Landeskog. Probably a good move by him, because Nathan finished it. Oh, low gloves. So, oof, it's going to be interesting, brother.
Sounds like Vasilevskiy's blocker is like Crow's glove hand.
For Smith, he's got weakness everywhere.
No, I was talking about Vasilevskiy.
Oh, Vasilevskiy. Oh. You didn't like Crow's glove hand?
No, I didn't.
You know what? He had a good glove.
You shoot high glove on Crow?
Yeah, that's...
I called it one time. I'm like, watch this. Next time they shoot high on him, they're going to score, and boom. I was like, you got to be freaking kidding me.
He's more of a positional goalie. Like, yeah, he would use his body and his just his like reflexes to, you know, in this position to stop pucks. He wasn't like athletic like Dom Hasek, who would just flop desperation around, save it with my chin strap, you know? Like, it... I miss him, man. I miss the old school goalies. Now
the Dominator?
He's a diamond. One of the best, man. One of the best.
Definitely.
Another former Blackhawk.
Yeah, no kidding.
Yeah.
What a position to be in to have to choose between Ed Belfour and Dominic Hasek.
You know, I think they made the right decision. Eddie was a very good goalie, obviously. But you know what? They didn't win any Stanley Cups with the Hawks, so it didn't really matter. I know Eddie won with Dallas, and Dom won with
he didn't win it with Buffalo, so I mean,
he got close. He actually faced Eddie that year. It was Buffalo versus Dallas, and Belfour was just the better goalie. I think it was a good series. I know that controversial Brett Hall skate in the crease, which was complete garbage. He was just kind of following through. I know the Buffalo fans are still crying about that, but come on, Dallas was just the better team.
Yeah. All right, everybody, that's all that we got for you tonight. It's 4-4. Colorado's on the power play with 5:54 left in the third.
Oh boy.
This is not looking good for Edmonton, like we mentioned previously. Can't believe they were down 4-2, which in NHL 22 they say is the worst lead in hockey. And but that's all that we got for you tonight. This is the Tomahawk. We're out of here.